Such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place this morning. You could stand. I'm going to be moving into another series this morning. Living with expectations. Living with expectations. This year, 2016, is a year of expectation. And I believe that God wants to bring to us what I call now moments. New opportunities waiting, no opportunity wasted. Now moment. And I'd like to preach to you this morning. I'm calm right now, but I'm going to get worked up because I am excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do here today. Because I believe that today, those of you that always say, well, someday, someday, it's good to see you, Kirby. Someday, your someday has arrived. Sister Linda was talking about her prayers. If God doesn't answer another prayer, Sister Linda, your someday has arrived. You hear this morning, you struggled and had all kinds of struggles. Your someday is today. Today is your someday. Your someday has arrived, and it has arrived now. Right here, right now. So this morning, we're going to read a very simple passage of Scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Turn you northward. We always look at north as being up. Look at the map, north is always up. You have compassed about this mountain. You have dealt with this problem. You have dealt with this situation long enough. Now turn upward. Now look up. You may be seated. As we look at Israel and the story of the Exodus, it has intrigued me for many years now because I'm beginning to realize that the more and more that I read about it and study about it, I can find comparisons as we as Christians, as we go through life, we can have our own wilderness experiences. We can have times where that the manna is falling from heaven, and we can have times where that God is providing nourishment and water from a rock. And we go through our own wilderness experiences. And I believe that when Israel went through their years of wandering in the wilderness, that God, we can take and draw parallels with what they went through and what we go through. I believe that as the Lord spake, reading our scripture, as the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. We have all heard this saying, and perhaps we have said it many times ourselves. Well, someday my ship is going to come in. Someday things are going to get better. Someday I am going to make that change. Someday, pastor, I will become a giver. I will support the church. Someday, I will attend every service. Someday. I believe it's an old song. It might have been written in the 60s, maybe perhaps in the 70s, but it goes something like, someday things are going to get easier, and someday things are going to get better, and someday things are going to get brighter. Well, I want to inform you this morning that your someday has arrived. Your someday is here. Today is your someday. God spoke to Israel and he told Israel, you have been in this place long enough. You have become far too comfortable with this place. You have become complacent with this place. And I believe that God is speaking to each and every one of us today, church. Some of you have been in this place far too long, and it is time to move upward. It is time to move upward into a new level, into a new realm, into a new dimension with God. It is time for you, it is time for me to let go of past mistakes and past victories. What you were afraid of yesterday, you have nothing to fear today because someday has arrived. You have conquered your fears with the help of Jesus Christ and you have fought that fight. I believe some of you have fought your last battle against some of the struggles and the temptations that you have fought to overcome because your someday is today. Your someday has arrived. It is here. It is knocking at the door as we speak. It is time to go up out of your place of complacency. It is time to get up out of your chair of mediocrity and answer that door because today is somebody's someday. You can, you know. I said, you can, you know why? Because God's word says that we can, and that is enough. It's good to see Sister Janet George here this morning. God bless you, sister. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's time to change your life. It's time to change your course. It's time to set a new course. It's time to set a new plan of action. It's time to realize that change is going to do you good. You need victory, and you need it today. Anyone here need a victory today? Anyone here need a miracle today? Anyone here need a prayer answer today? I want to tell you, church, that your someday has arrived, and your someday is today. I love the scripture, John 10:10. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is ready to deliver a complete victory in every situation in your life. Why is that? Because he himself was victorious over sin. He was victorious over the enemy. He was victorious over every negative situation that he came in contact with. When that situation, when he stepped out of that situation, it came from just life to life more abundantly. You and I, we can share that same victory. Jesus says, behold, I give you power. Power to do what? Power to tread on the enemy that so often wishes to tread upon us. He gives us power and authority over every situation that we have encountered. He gives us power and authority over every situation that you will encounter. So why would anybody here this morning just want to settle for a victory when we can have a complete victory in our lives? Some of us, we're satisfied with just a victory every now and then, and maybe the enemy will allow us to have a little bit of a victory, a little bit of a jumping spell, a little bit of a sweetness in our life. But Jesus Christ says, I came that you might have victory, that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. We can say today that, you know, Pastor, understand, I'm not really worthy of this. I don't really deserve that. You need to get the devil out of your ear and you need to start reading the word of God. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But through his blood shed on Calvary, it makes us worthy. When I went down in the name of Jesus in a baptismal tank by immersion and I was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and I began to speak in other tongues and I had repented of my sins, Listen, that took me from a worse state of unworthiness to a state of being worthy, because I am a child of the Almighty God. I am a child of the Lord of hosts. I am a child of Jesus Christ, our King. You can say, I'm worthy. I'm worthy. I'm worthy of victory. And I want it today. I'm worthy of salvation. And I want it today. I'm worthy of my healing. And I want it today. I'm worthy of deliverance. And I want it today. And you know why you are worthy of it? Not because of anything that we have ever done, but because He made us worthy. When we read in Jeremiah, a paraphrased version of Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you." God has a plan for each and every one of us. I have mentioned that and said that time and time again. And we need to grasp that. We need to understand that. We need to put our faith and our trust in God's plans. For this, the Lord's declaration, God declares that I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your welfare, not for your disaster. I have a plan to give you future, a hope, and I have a plan to call you, that you will, I will call you, and for you to come and pray with me, and I will listen to you. God has a distinctive plan, and that plan is victorious. I want you to seek me and find me. And then you search for me with all your heart, no matter where you are at in life, no matter what you may be facing. God has a plan for you. You may have wandered away. You may have been in a struggle, but God has a plan to bring you back. Sister Linda, God has a plan for your son. God will not relinquish control and authority in his life until his plan is fulfilled in his life. Even if you think that you are at the end of the rope, God has a plan for revival in your life. God has always had a plan. He is prepared and he is ready for you even before you ever needed it or needed him. God already has all the solutions to the problems that you and I face. Quit looking at the problems that you have and start looking to the problem solver. So many times we try to our own detriment to solve our own problems. And God says, would you just sit down, shut up for a minute, and listen to me, son. Listen to me, daughter. I have got a solution to your problem. You see, Romans 8:28 tells me that God is always working on our behalf. He is looking to turn things around for us. And he always works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his will and to his purpose. So if anybody here is ready this morning to step out of your old life, I mean, not talking just about an old life of sin. I'm not just talking about an old life of self-destruction, but I'm talking about an old life of mediocrity, an old life of tired of sitting in the recliner chair and not getting what you need from God. Anyone here that is wanting to step out, I want to remind you today that the Holy Ghost is speaking to me today that your someday, your day has arrived, and to get up and answer that door. The scripture tells us that God is going to do something fresh, and he's going to do something new. And the condition and requirement for receiving that something new is we have to let go of the old. I'm reminded of a miracle that is found in the New Testament, and I came to speak into someone's life today. Someone today needs to hear this story one more time. I'm reminded of the man at the pool of Bethesda. He had been there for years and years and years of his life. He was often overlooked. He was often crowded out. He was often passed over, outran and pushed out. But he had a desire in his heart. He had a desire to get into the pool. He was ready to get in. He was willing to give up the old for the new. And we have all been been like this man in some way, shape, or form in our life. We have been looking about it. We have been dreaming about it. We have been talking about it. We have been singing about it. But we're not quite ready to get into the water. We're not quite ready to get into the pool, even though we desire. There's something in us. I can imagine this man as he starts for the water. He starts for the door. And as he starts watching for the slightest ripple, he's saying to himself, I don't want to miss it this time. I don't want to miss it this time. I have been here for hours. I have been here for days and weeks and months and years as he watches the water for just a moment. Perhaps he dozes off. And as he dozes off and the sun is shining into his face, something has caught his attention. He can hear the water as it begins to ripple. And as he wakes himself from his sleepy doze, he tries to get his way, tries to work his way to get into the water, but he is short. Someone else has already jumped in. Shouts ring out as perhaps a blind man who was once blind stumbled and fell into the water. Maybe it was someone that was lame like himself who's now crying out, I can walk, I can walk. And as he begins to run laps and he watches another lame man run laps around a pool that he himself has so desperately desired to get into. But I want to encourage you this morning. You are not standing at the pool of Bethesda. You do not have to wait. The waters are being troubled. They are being troubled as we speak. And somebody, somewhere here today, your someday has arrived. The rippling of the pool is effect today, and it is there just for you. I'm talking to someone today who has watched other people in their life get blessed. They have watched other people get healed. They have watched other people launch into ministry. They have watched other people as they drive in their new car, or they talk about their new job, or they talk about their beautiful new wife or beautiful new husband. And you look at all of this natural evidence and say, that will never be me. I can't do that. I don't have that in me. Church, I want to tell you, brother or sister or guest of ours today, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So often we allow God, we take shackles and controls and we put them in God, and God is begging, God is pleading, just release me this morning, just let me go. I want to do signs, I want to do miracles, I want to do wonders among you. The day that you have waited for, that someday it is arrived, and it is here right now. The Lord says to tell you this morning, we need to take the limits off of him and not restrict him to our past methods and to our past experiences or to past manifestations. Jesus says, behold, I will do a new thing. As we read about this story in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there, it is at Jerusalem, by a sheep market, there was a pool, and that pool was called Bethesda. It had five porches. The porches were full of people, a great multitude of impotent folk, of being blind and halt and withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, it was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a man was there. He had this infirmity for 38 years of his life. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And Jesus is asking you this morning, he's asking you this question. I know you're standing in front of a pool. I know that the only way that you can get into that pool is as when an angel touches the water. But Jesus Christ is walking among us this morning, and he is asking that question. He is asking it to you right now. Will thou be made whole? He wasn't asking the question, do you have someone to help you get into the water? He wasn't asking the question, can I help you get a little bit closer to the pool so that next time the water is troubled, somebody can just push you in. He was asking the question, wilt thou be made whole? For years, the sick, the afflicted, the feeble came to this pool and would wait for a move of the water. For years, we come to church service after church service after church service, and we wait for a special move of the water. And now, on this particular day, God steps into the scene. Jesus stood in front of this man. I love to draw the parallel to put this in such a powerful perspective. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life and the light of men, and light shined up in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This man, lame for 38 years, stood face to face, or laid there face to face with Jesus Christ, and he had no idea who was actually standing right in front of him. It was the God that created the heavens and the earth. It was the God that said, let there be light. It was the God that created mankind. It was the God that opened up the Red Sea. It was the God that allowed David to slay Goliath. It was the God that led the three Hebrew children through the fiery furnace. It was God. It was the God that delivered Daniel out of the mouth of the lion's den. And here standing before him, and all of his infirmity, was the same God standing right there. And we look at our lives today and we say, well, maybe not today. The water's not being rippled in the pool. And God is standing there in front of you and your infirmity and saying, I don't need the rippling of the pool to have a miracle performed in your life. Today, your someday has arrived. You see, God's Spirit was in the pool. Understand that. When an angel rippled the pool, it was the Spirit of God coming into the pool. Yes, God's Spirit was in the pool, but the pool was not God. God was standing right in front of the man. You see, God is bigger than the last method that he used. I don't recall reading anywhere in Scripture or Jewish history after Jesus performed this miracle that the waters ever rippled again. I don't know. Be a good study to find out. But you see, sometimes God comes down and says, listen, I'm not going to do things that way anymore. I'm not going to ripple the waters anymore. All you have to do is I'm going to give every man a measure of faith. And you exercise that faith. And within that faith, I'm going to give you a spirit. And that spirit is my Holy Ghost. It is my creative spirit. It is what I am. It is who I am. It possesses all of my power. And I'm going to put it inside the hearts and the lives of men. You see, God is bigger than the rippling of the pool. For one blind man, he touched his eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. For another blind man, he reached down into the dirt, and so rudely he spits into the dirt, and he makes a mud ball, and he begins to rub it into the man's eyes. How rude can you be? But as he began to rub that mud into his eyes, something began to change within the eyes of that blind man. What once could not see, an optic nerve that could not transmit brain signs from the brain to the eye, the cornea, the retina, the pupil, all of the things, maybe the clouding over, the cataracts, whatever it was that allowed him to become blind. When that mud and that saliva begin to run around into his eye, yes, he may have felt some pain for the first time in his eyes, but as that mud began to rub around and it began to run down his cheeks, something began to happen in the supernatural, and an eye that was not functioning, an optic nerve that was not receiving information from the eye to the brain, all of a sudden everything begins to work. One man, he just says, as your faith be it unto you, and another man, he spits in a ball of mud and rubs it in his eye. So I don't know what you're looking for or how you're looking for your miracle this morning, but what Jesus Christ did for your neighbor, he may not do the same for you. What he did for your grandmother and how he healed your grandmother, it may not be the same way that he chooses to heal you. However he chooses to heal you, you have to have faith. You see, understand one thing. This man almost missed his miracle because his faith was still attached to the pool of water. His faith, he was still looking into the pool for his source of healing. He was expecting a miracle to come in the water, and he almost missed his miracle because it didn't come the way he expected it to come. When you and I, when we need a miracle from God, you have to give God the latitude to use whatever means he desires to get it to you. Understand, we don't always understand how God does things. But if we're not careful, we will miss out on the glory. We will miss out on the blessing. We will miss out on the miracle that we need simply because it doesn't come in the package that we expect it. When I look at Elijah and I look at God, when he was hard luck, he needed a meal. He needed nourishment, and God sent a bird. He didn't send a beautiful flowery a songbird of sorts. He didn't send a large canary or peacock or any beautiful bird. He didn't send a macaw parrot that could ask him how his bread was that day. He sent a raven. A raven is noted as a dirty bird. That's why when you hear the football team, the Ravens, they're called dirty birds. He sent a dirty bird to minister to him and to bring him food and to bring him nourishment. And so many times we get so caught up in our miracle theology that we pull out our shotgun and we shoot the dirty bird, just as a dirty bird is ready to deliver a miracle, because it doesn't match how we expect God to do it. We can become so narrow-minded in our religious attitudes that we try to tell God how to do his business. Bless me, God, and this is how I want it. Heal me, God, and this is how I want it. I want this, I want that, and this is how I want it. This poor man at the pool of Bethesda almost missed the person, almost missed Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, with his blessing, because he was still attached to the rippling of the pool. His breakthrough had come. His someday had arrived, but it didn't come the way he expected it, and he almost missed it. And so he was so locked in to the experiences of how God had moved in the past that he thought the only way that he could get his breakthrough and his miracle was he had to get into the crowd. He had to push. He had to kick. He had to crawl and cry out. He had to fight and work his way into the pool. He could not fathom that it was just as simple as receiving. You see, your miracle, your blessing, and your breakthrough is here, right here, today. It's not in the pool. It's not in your works. It's in your faith. It's in your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, I understand faith has works. Faith without works is dead. But you can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a blessing or into a miracle. You can wear yourself out trying to make things happen, trying to get people to maybe recognize you, trying to open doors yourself, trying to get a platform for whatever gift that God has given you. Listen, when God says it's time to use that gift, there's nothing that will hold back that gift. Don't try to push something that God says isn't ready to be pushed. Don't try to open a door that God has got closed. Trying to convince God that you need a blessing, that you deserve this promotion, that you deserve this breakthrough. God, I've served you for 38 years. I've had this sickness for 38 years. God, I deserve the pool. You see, faith has works, but faith culminates not in trying, but in trusting. You see, faith, it has works. It doesn't culminate in trying, but in trusting. Not in wrestling with God, but in nestling with God. Sometimes we need to quit wrestling with God. Here this morning, if you're wrestling with God, you need to stop wrestling with God and start nestling with God. I want to encourage someone today who is on the verge of quitting and not turning your back on God per se, but shutting down and turning off that switch of faith because you've gone time and time again. You've tried to get in to that pool and you've questioned, is it even worth it anymore? Somebody's dream here this morning is on life support and you're about to pull the plug and you've never been in a fight for your life and you just don't feel like you've got any more fight left. I want to say to you this morning, hold on, because faith never quits. Faith never gives up. Faith never gets in. The difference between success and failure is getting up one more time than you fail. The difference between winning on a match, if you're in a boxing match and you're slugging it out with your opponent, the difference in winning and losing that match is you just got to last one more punch than your opponent. So get back in that ring. Exercise your faith and start drawing on the power that is within you. Faith never quits when your money runs out. Faith never quits when your feelings run out. Faith never quits when your marriage is on the tank. Faith never quits when your finances. Faith never quits when your friends leave you and abandon you. Faith never quits, but faith will carry you through because faith never gives up. Faith never quits and faith never dies. You see, you never know just exactly when your breakthrough is coming. This blind man at the pool of Bethesda had no idea that God in the flesh was going to show up in front of his cot that morning. That day started out like any other day, just like your day may have started out this morning, and you got up just like any other Sunday morning, and you get dressed, and you have your little waffle, and you have your cup of coffee at the Great Awakening, and you come into service, and faith is in the place, and you come in just exactly like you've come in here before. But I want to tell you one thing, it's different today because your someday has arrived. You did not know, you have not realized, but God is here this morning and he is desiring to do great miracles and signs and wonders in your life. Something my old great haired granny would say, it's something that I'm sure Brother Russell has probably used and Bishop has used in their messages before. My old great granny would say, what's missing in today's young people? Now understand, this was many, many years ago, but I believe it is missing yet still today. We need to have a little bit more gumption, Brother Russell. We need to have a little bit more gumption for some of you older saints here this morning. You know what I'm talking about. We need to have a little more gumption. We need to have a little bit more guts and a little more grit and a little more backbone. I can't go down there because if so-and-so prays for me, they've offended me and I can't go down. I won't go down. Listen, I hate to believe that the only thing stand between you and your miracle is a loudmouth preacher that may offend you from time to time. Get out of your pride, get out of your arrogance, and put on a little bit of humility and make your way down to this offer, because your someday is today. We need more gumption in the Holy Ghost. We give up too fast. We don't get what we want. I went down there when Martin Bustard was here, and I felt better for maybe a day or two. But I'm not going down there and making a spectacle of myself anymore. This poor blind or poor lame man was willing to time after time after time again make a spectacle of himself. No doubt he couldn't walk, so he was on his knees. Maybe he couldn't even, and he was crawling. And every time the waters would come, he would try to get himself out of the bed. And I can imagine, as he couldn't just get out comfortably, maybe he rolled himself out of bed and he began to crawl because the waters were troubled in the pool. And he began to crawl and he was going to get there. I'm not going to stop that miracle, that water. I'm not going to stop until I get there. But our biggest problem is today we only have to walk some 50 feet to get to our miracle, and we don't got enough guts and gumption inside of us to even attempt to get out of the pew that we're sitting in. You see, it's gumption that'll get you up and get you started in the morning. It's that kind of thing that becomes part of our character that just won't let us lay around and be lazy and feel sorry for ourselves. We need a little bit more Holy Ghost gumption. Gumption makes him keep coming. Gumption made him keep pressing on through the pain. Gumption caused him to press on through his disappointment and his discouragement year after year after year. Listen, church, everybody needs some gumption, but gumption alone is not enough. We have to take gumption and we have to put it in with unction. We've all heard the word unction. It's a form of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost this morning about gumption. We need gumption and unction. When they come together, when you have gumption that meets up and it attaches on to unction, and unction and gumption that causes us to function in the Holy Ghost. We need to have some functionality in our Holy Ghost. It had been a long time, 38 years. Same thing, over and over again. You see, it just didn't happen. So happened that Jesus was in the place. It didn't just so happen that all of the people there came, and only Jesus went specifically to him. He didn't go to anybody else. He went to him. You see, I believe that Jesus came to him according to this man's own words. If you read the story again, he kept coming. He kept coming, Brother Thomas. He kept coming. He kept coming. He may have been outran. He may have been run over. He may have been crowded out. But his persistence kept him coming. And it was his persistence that got God's attention. He kept pushing. He pushed through the pain. He pushed through the discouragement. Let me make this a little bit plainer. He kept pushing even through his divorce. He kept pushing through his bankruptcy. He kept pushing through his confusion. He kept pushing through his betrayal. He kept pushing through his rejection. He kept pushing because nothing was going to deter him. Nothing was going to give up. He says, I'm wounded, but I'm not giving up. I'm hurting, but I'm not quitting. I'm confused, but I'll keep pushing on through my confusion. I'm battling depression, but I'm not stopping with that. My back is out. I can hardly walk, but Brother Dave Hope, I'm going to keep pushing. We're going to keep building a church in Poinette. It doesn't matter to me if God never heals me of another sickness. I'm going to keep pushing. You see, it's a challenge to get up and keep moving. But I know that if I don't keep moving, I will spiritually die. And I've made up my mind. I'm not going to die. If I'm going to die moving in any direction, it's going to be moving in the direction of my miracle. If I leave this earth in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to be like the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just get in and get close and get to the hem of his garment, all I got to do is just touch him. I don't have to talk with him. I don't have to shake his hand. I don't have to have oil anointed on my head. So many times we get so caught up that in order for us to be healed, we got to have anointing of oil from 35 different kinds of oil and 50 different people. The woman with the issue of blood, she says, if I can just get up there and touch the hem of his garment. Keep moving. Movement, in case you were wondering, is a sign of life. It means that you still have something in you that is alive. You see, if you can't move your legs, move your arms. If you can't move your arms, move your head. If you can't move your head, wiggle your toes. If you can't move your toes, stick out your tongue and worship the Lord with your voice. You can take, you can roll your eyes. Just do something to tell the devil that you're still here. You're still alive. You're still moving. That you're still in the fight. I want to tell you, God is God, and he doesn't always do the same thing. He can change the process anytime that he wants. And all those people who are gathered around the pool waiting for their turn, they were following a pattern of the pool method. They were waiting for the moving of the water. I want to say right here, in the few moments that I have left, if our musicians can come, I want to say right here, I want to declare that somebody is going to go to the front of the line today. Somebody is going to get ready to experience divine favor from an almighty God today. Because your someday has arrived, and you're willing to leave the comfort and the redundancy of the pool, and you're willing to step out, even if it takes crawling, to get to the feet of Jesus. Somebody's getting ready to experience divine favor. You see, understand one thing. You can make your way to the altar. There's nothing wrong with that. Come right on up. You see, there's one thing you have to understand. Divine favor is not always fair. Jesus gave this man divine healing favor that day. He didn't have to wait his turn in the pool. Jesus said to the man, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, without hesitation or delay, he was made whole. Is there anybody here this morning who has immediate faith? I want the congregation to stand. We're going to do something a little different here, Brother Thomas. Just hold on a minute there. I know what James says about laying hands on the sick and oil and all of that. Okay? But we're going to exercise what we've just been taught. You have made your way here because you believe your someday has arrived. I don't care what it is. Does it matter what your problem is? If you need salvation, listen, your someday has arrived. It's here. You need a healing in your body? It's here. It's here. Jesus didn't get all carried away. He didn't tell his disciples, pray for this man and pray for him until healing comes through. Jesus said, by your faith. He says, take up your bed and walk. I believe that's the kind of faith that God desires to bring out in us. We're looking for miracles, signs, and wonders. Hey, Lord, how about right today? You said, Lord, you would come running to us. Everything we've gone through hasn't been in vain. There's a reason and a purpose. So if you need a miracle this morning, I want you to lift up your hands if you have the power of the Holy Ghost. We always like to take and quote Ephesians when it talks about the whole armor of God, about putting on all of this armor. But at the very conclusion of Paul as he's talking, he talks and says one more thing about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. I believe praying in the Spirit is an awesome, powerful weapon that we can reach the very throne room of heaven with our petitions, with our infirmities. So I want you to begin to pray and to bend the... You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. All you have to do is take that faith as a grain of mustard seed and declare it in your life and say, by my faith, Lord, I am manifesting faith in my life, in my affliction, in my body right now, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Maybe you weren't able to make it up here to the pool this morning. I want to encourage you. You can be in the very back row back there. You can be in the very back corners. Jesus went to where the man was. Jesus went to where he was at. He found him. He sought him out. Jesus Christ can seek you out this morning. All you have to do is lift your hands. All you have to do is begin to pray and begin to exercise that faith that you have. And you begin to pray. Lord, I pray, God, for my brothers. I pray for my sisters. I pray for those here that need salvation this morning. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would show yourself, that your power and your mercy would flood this place, that the healing power of the Holy Ghost would flood this place. Lord, as our faith arises, as it climbs to new heights, as it climbs to new levels, I pray, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would unleash your power upon this congregation this morning. Lord, we have fasted. Lord, we have prayed. We have committed ourselves. And Lord, you promised that you would come running. Lord, I expect you to come running because our someday, God, it is here. Today is our someday. I pray, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's it, church. Lift your hands and begin to worship God. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. Begin to worship Him. He's not going to heal you the way He's healing the person next to you. He's not going to heal you the same way that He healed my knee. He may not heal you the same way that He heals someone else. But believe God that He is going to heal you this morning.